Why are there four Gospels? What happens to unborn babies when they die? What does it mean to fear God? Find faithful, Bible-based answers to tough theological questions when you read the August issue of The Lutheran Witness, a magazine of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness to get 6 issues for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You will find this little book. It's so little that you might just skip past it. It is only 25 verses. This little letter that is apparently just tacked on at the end of Paul's epistles, the greater epistles that we all know the names of, there near the end of the New Testament, the letter of Paul to Philemon regarding one Onesimus, a slave. Why is this letter in here, and what do we learn about Paul, about the institution of slavery, but more importantly, about the center of the Christian faith, Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead, in this little letter at the end of Paul's epistles? Welcome back to Issues, Etc. On this Tuesday afternoon, we're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why is the book of Philemon, do you think, included among Paul's letters? It's short. It's kind of to one guy. Why is it there?
First of all, it never was doubted as a part of the Bible. Some books were, like Esther and Revelation, etc. But this never was doubted because it was written by Paul. But more importantly, remember the first two books prior to Philemon, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and also then Titus, where the Apostle Paul is giving practical advice as to what it means to Timothy and Titus to be believers in Jesus Christ, and in particular, there being pastors, ministers of the gospel. Philemon gives practical advice from the point of view of being a Christian as to how we are to deal with other people, even some of whom have gone against us in one way or another, such as Onesimus, a Philemon slave, deciding to just run away. And so the Apostle Paul in Philemon not only begins with Jesus Christ in the first verse, but ends with Jesus Christ in the last verse. And therefore, everything in between is what we would say in the life of sanctification, how the Christian is to respond to what Christ Jesus has done for us.
What should the Sunday school children know about slavery, the institution at the time Paul is writing this, in order for them to rightly understand really what Paul is suggesting to Philemon, that Onesimus be received back as a Christian brother?
The idea of slavery, of course, if you live in the United States, is quite a cruel situation. Slaves being beaten, being put to death, sold again and again. This is quite different than what happened mainly in the New Testament times. A slave could become a slave either because in war he was captured, or he might even sell himself. Let's say he had a big debt. Well, he could sell himself as a slave, pay off the debt. In fact, some desired to be slaves in order to become Roman citizens because they were permitted to accumulate wealth. They could purchase their own freedom. And normally they were set free by the age of 30. So it's really quite a different social understanding of slavery in the New Testament than in the times of the United States when slavery was quite rampant. And that needs to be important because Paul is suggesting something to Philemon that could occur in that culture where slaves were often almost considered as members of the family, and they did at times have respect from a large proportion of the masters.
So what has Onesimus done?
Onesimus has fled from his master Philemon, and it appears that he even may have stolen something. And therefore, Philemon has every right to get him back and put him back to work. And what is happening here, if one would read Philemon, where Paul is almost becoming a Christ to Onesimus. Onesimus does not deserve to be taken back under the laws of that day and not treated harshly for what he has done. But Paul goes so far to talk about how he himself is willing to give up his own money in case Philemon feels that the cost is too great. This is a beautiful example of Jesus in the life of Paul. For it was Jesus himself who gave up, not buying us with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, his innocent suffering and death. And recall, Paul is writing to Philemon while Paul is in prison. And yet, through the prison, he came to know Onesimus and brought him to the faith. And therefore, he's encouraging Philemon to take him back as a brother in Christ.
This appeal is kind of made on the basis of two things. One is that Onesimus now appears to be a fellow Christian, but also that Paul is appealing to Philemon himself, saying, if you consider me a partner, what does he mean by that?
Yes. Greek word actually is the same root word as koinonia, which is a communion. When Paul is describing the bread and the wine in the Lord's Supper, he calls it a koinonia of bread and wine, a coming together. We call it in with and under the form of bread is the body of Christ. In with and under the form of wine is the blood of Christ. To call oneself a koinonia with another person means a very, very close relationship. And I really understand Paul when he says, you know, in verse 8, for example, I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, namely to take him back as a Christian brother. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. In other words, this is the distinction between Philemon doing a good work or Philemon doing a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If he does it as a good work, he's doing that under compulsion. He doesn't want to make Paul mad. And yeah, they're friends. So, okay, for your sake, I'm going to do it. I really don't like doing it, but I'll do it just because we're good friends. But a fruit of the Holy Spirit is not done under compulsion. It's done freely. In fact, that's one of the big points of law and gospel that Martin Luther showed us so clearly, that when we are a Christian, we are freed from having to do good works in order to get to heaven. There's nothing we gain from doing a good work in regard to heaven, because we're already going to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, Christians and Christians alone are free to do good works without compulsion, without self-interest. And one can look at Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he talks about how Jesus has interest for others to the point that he was willing to die on the cross for them. Paul has that interest toward Onesimus, where he's willing even to pay Philemon if that became necessary.
So Is he appealing to Philemon that Onesimus be freed, that he take him back as a brother and no longer as a slave?
No, not necessarily. When the Galatians, talks about there's no distinction between male or female, slave or free, Jew or Gentile, that doesn't mean that you no longer are a male, you no longer are a female, you're no longer free, you're no longer a slave. No. What it is saying that in your present vocation, in your station of life, whether Gentile, Jew, male, female, slave, or free, you are still one in Christ because Jesus Christ died equally for everybody. So Paul actually says, you know, I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness, now that's toward Onesimus, might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. And so he's not saying that Onesimus needs to be freed, but treated appropriately as a brother in Christ, as a Christian. And that was what a lot of masters were doing in those days. They had real reverence toward their slaves, took good care of them, allowed them to get wealthy, and most of them were freed at 30 years old, or they could even buy their way out of slavery.
This you had mentioned this before, but I want you to talk a little bit more about it. This willingness of Paul, if he owes you anything, I will pay it myself. And then he even says he takes it up in his own hand. I will repay it. Talk again, if you would, about how this is an outgrowth directly from what Jesus has done for Paul himself.
It's in verse 17. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Guess what? This sounds exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. He got charged to his account, my sins, your sins. Upon the cross, what he endured was being forsaken by the Father, because at that point, he was the greatest sinner in the world. No one was a greater sinner because he had the sins of the entire world upon him. Paul so loves the Lord Jesus that he himself is also willing to have anything charged to his account if he can once more get Onesimus and Philemon to reconcile. It certainly appears that Onesimus is ready, or Paul wouldn't have written the letter. What he was doing with Philemon is using the same love that Jesus had toward him, he now uses toward Philemon as the motivation to treat Onesimus as a brother in Christ.
With only about 30 seconds, how would you summarize the law and gospel of this story?
It's kind of interesting. The word Onesimus actually means beneficial or profitable. And the word Philemon means one who kisses. Now, Philemon, or one who is affectionate, Philemon could have said no to this because it wasn't in his self-interest. But being affectionate through Christ, he was therefore able to bring Onesimus, whose name means beneficial, and once more become profitable for him, but not out of compulsion, but out of love that Jesus Christ had given to him.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, and welcome back from Wittenberg.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss our recent trip to Wittenberg, Germany, and we'll continue our series with Pastor Jonathan Fisk on raising Christian children in an age of progressivism. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.